All right. I'd like to call the July 11th meeting of Ways and Means to order. Can I have approval of the minutes of June 6th and June 13th regular meetings?
I'll make that motion.
Second?
I will second.
Failed. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Resolution 486. Can I have a motion?
I'll make it.
Second?
I'll second.
Discussion?
So, I'm just curious what the plan is on this. Like, I know we need to have a meeting, and we need to actually...
So, working with a member of the budget team and information services, we've reduced the policy from 90 to about 41 pages right now. Basically, it was a combined policy plus SOP. And we're pulling out any of the standard operating procedures and focusing on the higher level policy areas. So we've made significant progress here, but it wasn't ready for, I talked to the chair yesterday, it didn't feel ready for prime time, but I'm happy to put together a smaller group if you want to see, go through the redline version with us so you can see where it was, where it is today.
Can you circulate the red line version to...
I can, but I think it deserves a discussion.
Yeah,
while we're doing that, I'd rather not just throw it out into the ether and then say, have more confusion. I'd rather us have like a facilitated discussion.
So maybe that's the question is, you know, can we coordinate that next step, having a meeting where we're having that discussion with information services and your side of the house?
Yeah,
and it could be a Ways and Means meeting. And also I would definitely would like the comptroller there because the comptroller did have feedback initially. And just to make sure that all areas of concern are being addressed. Thank you for doing the work. Like, I think it's critical. And again, we all recognize the importance of getting it done. So
we stripped out a lot of the other stuff too.
There was a lot of stuff. And there were things that were not relevant to this county at all, but that's great.
Yep.
Okay, good.
A lot of progress though, I have to say.
Maybe through chair of the committee, maybe we can have the
and that's what I suggested. Deputy Sir Kelly was that we would have a separate meeting so they could walk us through the revised once he's at that level. I don't think I don't see a value
if we had another week or two to continue to refine it, then I think that would be helpful.
Okay.
I think if I may just to make sure that we're having a meeting with a full red line in hand in advance of a vote, not having a meeting on the night of a vote.
Actually
pulling, having a meeting.
Yeah, like with...
I need to see the red line. I don't want to see it not in red line. I just need to...
I will say it directly. I think it was prematurely submitted, and we are taking the time that's necessary to get it into shape. So I'm not looking to the vote. I'm looking for feedback.
Yeah.
So right. as the interim step. So the vote is not as critical for me at this moment. It's about getting that proper feedback.
Okay. So we can schedule it would be a meeting of Ways and Means, right? It would be an actual meeting.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. If you could add me to the list to receive that notice.
And might I ask, maybe it would be a meeting of Ways and Means, but if we can notify the entire legislature just so that if anyone else wants to provide feedback or it's such an important issue. Thank you. A motion to postpone. One month.
Mm-hmm. Second.
I'll second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Resolution 331. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
I'll second.
Discussion?
Just say that the college budget was submitted earlier than any other year. Gave us ample time on the Economic Development Committee to really give it a good look over, and they took some feedback from us. And I just wanted to thank the college for giving us that opportunity to see it a little bit early and it passed our committee the other day. So we're ready to go.
Just note that you are going to let us know if the state approves it and all is good there, right? And, okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 336 as presented before you. Second?
Oh, I'll move it, yeah.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? Chairperson?
So we received backup that was requested. We received it today, just in a couple hours ago. So I am going to be asking for a 1 week postponement because it's not reasonable that anyone would have had a chance to look at the backup. I'm grateful for it, but that anyone would have had a chance to look at the backup. I did want to, in advance of asking for that 1 week postponement, did want to say that one of the things that I've been sort of struggling with this, which maybe I had a mental breakthrough on, is the concept that this is described as a policy. Because I don't feel like what we're actually adopting is a policy at all. I mean, we're if we adopt it, we're adopting an organizational and operational guideline structure. So one thing I'd like to think about is maybe changing that word policy. I don't know what Medical Reserve Corps unit organization and general operations document or guidance, and then somewhere some similar language on the bottom end. I'll be open to feedback from the exec's office since this was submitted by the exec, but I think technically this document is not actually a policy.
Legislator Nolan.
Dr. Smith isn't here, but some of the groups that we coordinate with may require this language, so I just, you know, check on that.
It was based on a conversation with the clerk as to whether this should be submitted as a policy or not. We weren't sure.
Yeah.
So it felt like to us that we're defining the organization, not creating policy.
Yeah.
But it was a gray area because this is a newer thing for us. So I would say if we're going to do policy would be, it is the policy of the county to have an MRC.
Exactly.
And that's a
yes.
proper amendment, and then the documentation that we submitted becomes the backup to that policy. So that would feel like the right thing.
That's a different, yeah, from my perspective,
yeah.
Just that's the other side of the possibility, because
mm-hmm.
what is here, to me,
it's not
a policy. It's the backup, too.
Yep.
It's an SOP. Exactly.
Yep.
So that's in addition to having the time to read the backup, which thank you for sending it,
sure.
I would like to have that conversation and figure it out.
We definitely took a long time going back and forth because, obviously, for us, if it's operations, we would rather just, you know, move forward and implement it. But the thing with this one was potentially, if we want to have an MRC that's very robust, we would apply for federal funding. So that's why we wanted to make sure to have the conversation with you all up front, so that later, if we're getting to a stage where we're applying for funding, this would have already happened.
Again, I think it's the follow-on to what Deputy Executive Kelly said. It's either that we're adopting a policy to have an MRC and this is the backup, or we're adopting this as the as an SOP for an MRC, which isn't a policy at all. It's just adopting the SOP, which isn't something that we necessarily do on operations.
Right.
So I think we just need to sort it one way or the other. But I didn't know that those conversations had happened
mm-hmm.
before and that there was so... I guess that helps me to ground my concerns as well.
Mr. Criswell?
Was the language changed to who was eligible to serve on this?
Yes,
mm-hmm.
we amended it per your request.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So I'd like to postpone for 1 week at
second.
This point.
All second.
Discussion. All in favor?
All right.
Aye.
Aye.
Carried. 337.
Motion for discussion.
Second.
I'll second for discussion.
Can I have a motion to postpone 1 month at the request of the county executive?
Yeah.
Second. Second for just postponement 1 month.
I'll second.
Second discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. 330.
Can I, before we move forward? Yeah.
Not in favor.
Correct.
Yeah, and before we move forward, if I just may ask, you know, postponing, I definitely am not ready to move on it today, so I'm fine with postponing a month, but I just really want to stress in this public environment that I'm hoping that in that month there is significant supportive backup that would lend itself to a really deeper understanding of, you know, I did take the tour with other legislators and it didn't allay my concerns, let me just be diplomatic, so I'm hoping that this month isn't just going to be a month where we come back and see the same thing.
And Deputy Contreras reached out to me. That's exactly what they need the month for, is to get the information together, to be able to answer questions, lay out a whole plan, and Deputy Secretary Contreras, if you want to.
The reason I'm not in favor, just so you know, is really because of what the content of this resolution is. It's accepting funds from the city. So I think we're putting two issues together. And that's, I don't want to do that. I want to say we're accepting money from the city. We will work on the issues with Elizabeth Manor as a separate entity. But that to me is what we're doing here.
So to your point, Tracy, I did talk to Chair Guevara's yesterday. I sent over also today, so I appreciate you will need time, a bunch of information earlier today in response to Legislator Petit's request. So you all should have that. I sent it to Vicki. I'm sure she'll send it along, so you can start to digest that. Another update just on what we're doing. We're putting together a document that was requested by Legislator Criswell, kind of putting together the criteria for what would make a good emergency housing property. We're getting a lot of suggestions from everybody, so we just want to make sure you guys all have that, so you have it, you know, when you're looking at properties set potentially. Another thing we're researching is depreciation, so it's possible that the cost for renovating the building can actually be claimed annually as part of the submission to the state for maintenance in lieu of rent. So it would be over 40 years, a long time, but we could potentially get reimbursed for those costs around 70%. So that's something we're still researching, because we would obviously need a pretty hard, firm answer on that before we decide to move forward.
So if we decide, like many legislators have said, to focus on a different piece of property, we could potentially be in there a lot quicker depending on the property. The $500,000, I don't think the city of Kingston's interested in giving us $500,000 to end up doing a similar project in the town of Ulster or Marlboro. They want to give us...
No, I'm agreeing.
Yeah. I mean, so the idea that we're saying no to postponing the $500,000, I think makes a lot of sense, because the majority of the legislators I speak to want to really consider selling this property, finding another use for it, or straight up selling it and attacking other properties. Taconic DDSO, ARC, are dumping a ton of their houses. I'm surprised they're set up for, I've worked in a ton of them. They're set up for exactly what we're trying to do. What frustrates me a little is, all I keep hearing is, okay, basically what we're gonna do here is we're just gonna keep going back until we're convinced. We're looking, everything I'm hearing is more and more just convincing, doubling and tripling and quadrupling down on just convincing us to do this property, which we've all pretty much said, if you asked us to buy this over again, if we could go back a year and a half, we wouldn't do it. How much are we into with an engineer or an architect? I mean, do we really want to keep pouring money even initially into this? The idea of putting a one-story elevator in this building seems crazy. I'm hearing when we're walking through the building, we still need to open up that wall to show the architect to even go from there. Anybody that toured that building that didn't walk away thinking we should probably be looking for other options, but I'm not hearing about these other options. Isn't that the way this is supposed to work? The executive branch of government is day-to-day operations, and we are the legislature's policy, and we're basically saying we don't like what we've done here. Shouldn't we be presented today? Shouldn't the executive staff have tasked people with other options, so we would start being presented with other options if we decide to do that? Isn't that the way it's supposed to work? Anybody? Or are we just gonna double, triple, quadruple down and eventually go, okay, let's throw $5 or $6 million into this place, a one-story elevator, and hope it all works out. Why we've let the building go, another conversation to be had. That's what happens when you buy and take too many properties. DPW isn't even gonna be able to have a team in there for a year or two, because they've got other projects going. Here, we're gonna go fix the roof on the Diamond Center at Golden Hill soon, which I'd love to hear more about. But where this is supposed to be a relationship where we make decisions here in our branch of government, and it's supposed to be respected with the executive branch of government. But that's not what's happening. We have legislators that are getting on MLS and sending things to each other to try to find properties. That's not our job. That's the executive branch of government. That's called day-to-day operations. But it's not happening.
Well, Chair Bartosz has been right about every single thing for a year and a half.
I was just going to, back to Deputy Executive Contreras's point about, I think you said depreciation in relation to reimbursement over the course of a number of years. I would just want to make sure, first of all, just on that subject even, that we're also factoring in debt service, you know, because it really changes the price. I know we don't know the number, but it changes the price, especially as you're factoring out a payback over years. I mean, the issue in the discussion about alternatives, which both Legislator Maloney and Deputy Contreras spoke to, from different sides of it, one circulating criteria and the other, you know, expressing concern about the executive side of the house looking for those alternatives. It's my understanding that the RFP for real estate services was let, and that's for real estate services on both sides of the house, and not specific to any one project. You know, I would strongly urge that we the county, and it would be the executive side of the house, take a very proactive approach with aggressively looking at properties that would be appropriate. And it's my understanding that the executive side of the house has heard the legislature on that front. We haven't passed a resolution saying to do that yet, but there's been enough conversation that I do think we've been heard, and I think that we'll need those services or aggressive internal action to actually, and I don't want to get too specific, to actually be doing more than looking at the MLS for what's already out there on the market. This is a competitive market in Ulster County, and very often by the time things get on the MLS, there's already offers, it's already done. And I know I've seen that from properties that I just thought were worth looking at. By the time I saw them, they didn't say pending, but they're sold. So I echo the sentiment of wanting to look for appropriate properties that are further along and less of a major rehab. I look forward to what the executive's office is going to bring back on this, but again, I'll state that after taking the tour, and I'm going to be diplomatic, it did nothing to allay my concerns. Actually, the contrary. So,
Legislator Mel.
I just think that prices and expenses have stabilized somewhat, but I would call everybody's attention to a story in today's Daily Freeman about the increase in costs at Dyke Stadium of over $7 million. And so we need to balance the desire to really make the process right with the fact that as time goes on, prices go up. And where we are with prices in 2023 is considerably different than where we were in 2019. So the forward energy on this needs to be maintained, as well as the kind of sideways, are we doing this all right? Because there are people who need those rooms as soon as we can get them.
All right, Deputy Secretary Contreras, but just as a reminder, we're likely to postpone this, so this discussion is going to happen again. Deputy Secretary Contreras?
I didn't.
Oh, I had you down. Let's spend more. All right.
We already looked at the properties as well. Yeah, it's nice that I said everything I said, but we'll be, we don't get a lot of feedback on is the executive going to really work with us on exploring other options. And to my experience, we don't always get a lot of, when we want to change course, it rarely happens. Heat Stadium is a much different project, and their estimates started far long ago, and it's a much larger project. But can anybody tell me how much we've spent? What does the contract look like with the engineer or the architect? how much we have, how much we could end up spending on this initial contract, how much we've spent so far, because if you're talking about a couple $100,000 and we haven't really, well, can we answer that part of it?
Sure, thank you. So we've, on the contract for A&E services, we have expended $23,400. The contract is for $180,000.
All right. Mm-hmm. So we could keep burning through another $150,000 and then change course, or we could really talk about our options to changing course now and be in one place or several other places much quicker, or a fresh build. We could build Elizabeth Street. If only we had a piece of property somewhere in the city of Kingston that we owned that we could build on. 10, 15, 20 acres. We don't have anything like that, do we? No. We did at the start of this nonsense, but we did so many bad decisions, and we just keep going down this road. And we still haven't, no one has still explained to me how we let a building go. Even the Freeman or one of the papers was pointing it out, that we have the building, the difference in a year and a half. We just, it's just complete incompetence.
Peter Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't see any reason to postpone this. I think we're just putting off the inevitable. And if, you know, my vote's probably going to be a no. But if you decide to vote yes and accept the money, you know, it's probably my understanding, too, that we could send the money back if we want, if we need to, if we have to. So I'm going to vote no on the postponement.
Take the vote again. All those in favor, postpone 1 month.
All right.
Aye.
Opposed? 369 is presented before you. Second. Second. Discussion. Chair Tells.
So I there was an email about actually having the opportunity to see the system, which I have not yet spoken to the finance team about, but I would like to see the system. I don't know what the setup is going to be to do that. I feel like I don't know if we got feedback from finance on this, but I don't. There's not a lot I can say till I see the system. Again, in theory, it makes sense to me, but I do want to see the system before we move forward. I don't know, and I'm curious where everyone else is at with this. I don't know.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, again, I'll state what I said last month, and from the time we've seen this, is that I am not aware of any instance where we have requested something and we haven't had the ability to get it, right? And we have our staff in here. You know, Amber and Natalie can certainly get us access to what we're looking for, and if not, they can arrange to get us access to what we're looking for. I personally do not want to have, you know, access to the county financial system on a laptop. And by the way, again, we'll go back to the whole thing. You know, how many legislators actually use the county issued device, right? How many legislators, you know, even know what their password is at this point? There are probably a substantial number that don't. And yet, we want to grant them access to the financial database. I'm not comfortable with that at all. You know, I've worked in this industry, you know, the data industry for a very long time, and it's always been, you know, on a need to know basis where you got that information access granted by seat, by individual, by job responsibility, by, you know, need to know, basically, right?
Legislator Maloney.
You know, we could be working on a device as legislators, and that question I just asked right there, we could look up ourselves. Otherwise, I gotta wait for Ways and Means, or I gotta be wait in line with 22 other people to get information like that. Sometimes you don't even know that you ask questions. I'm sure Natalie has had this experience along with Amber, where we'll ask for something and not even necessarily get back what we thought we were looking for. We'd all get better and better. Brian, if you don't want it, don't take it. It's an option. You know, Laura put in some language. There are so many people in the county that have access to this. Most of the people that sit along that wall have access to it, but we don't. And to hold that back, but it never does cease to amaze me. You know, we give raises out to everybody but our own staff for up until last year. But, you know, I think the language Laura put in is pretty specific. We're not getting the field agents that we have out there will be safe. We're not getting their names. The spies aren't going to be put in danger when we have access to the financial system. So I don't understand. I will say this. We can wait a couple of months and just do it next term. But I'd like to see this group do it. But it'll be done next term. If it's not done this term, I guarantee it.
Let's say over.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly the executive side of the House and finance haven't made yet a counter argument to it. I'm just, and I'm inclined to lean toward thinking that if it's read-only access and it's only on county devices, it's hard for me to imagine the harm, because I do think, just for myself, you don't know what you don't know, and maybe if I were in the system and looking at it, I might stumble across something that would spark a question or a concern that I wouldn't have otherwise been aware that I even had. And I do think that there will always be people who wouldn't avail themselves to it for whatever reason. Like just some of us would use it and some of us wouldn't. But I am interested if there is some counter argument to it, because I haven't heard it yet. I mean, I appreciate your concern in the private sector, but I mean from the other side of the house. Again, we're duly elected officials with the highest financial responsibility of anyone in the county. So seeing something that's read-only seems to me, you know, a kind of a basic... I want to confirm that there would be no security concerns with utilizing it on county-issued devices in terms of laptops. Right now, maybe I could ask, right now, in terms of those people who have read-only access in this system, I don't know who I'm asking this of, but okay, those people who have read-only access in the system, and I imagine it's a lot, maybe you could also come back and tell us how many do, but those people, can they utilize it on take-home laptops that are county-issued? Can you go home and you may be a bad example in your role.
So,
but let's use someone
else. In terms of external access from outside of the county network, you'd have to sign in via a secured network, right? So you have to VPN into a virtual private network in order to have access to the county systems. So that's one part of it. I think... Just to provide context in terms of what this system is, it's an enterprise resource planner for the entire organization's financials, right? So it's not like any of us just walk in on any given day and say, I'm just going to click through and figure out how to use this. It requires training and requires a lot of experience. So that would be, I think, in order to make it useful to any end user, training has to be a big aspect of that to make it useful to anybody. Not all county employees use the financial system. It's not part of everybody's functions and duties. I have to use it as part of my duties, whether I was in finance, budget, or my role now. All of it is very different in terms of what I use it for today versus what I used it for in finance versus what I used it for in budget. So it's very role specific. So understanding exactly what you're looking for, read-only access to what? Not every department gets the same level of access. It's segregated based on their duties and internal controls. So we'd have to strictly define what user are you.
What budget?
You're not...
Thank
you, Chair. The legislative analysts have very different functions in terms of what they do, so their access is much more broad. And it's more akin to what the budget team or other people in finance use. So it's just, and that's across every single department. So from our perspective, understanding those pieces, how we would define the role, we can always work through the virtual private network and all of those things. That's an easy Cisco add-on. Those things can all be worked through, understanding that aspect. The other question I have to ask, and this is something for the legislature to answer, where in any other elected body does this occur? And that's always helpful for us as context to say, oh yeah, Dutchess or Astigo, I don't care where it is, but I could not find a frame of reference to say, yeah, other legislators in every other county have this, we're the outlier. I've never heard of the access being granted because they usually have professional, everyday, non-elected staff who have access and perform a function in the organization. So that's the question I guess I have to ask back to you guys is, what's that point of reference to say this access is granted elsewhere? But we're happy to set up a, whatever, a training, or you guys want to view the system, we can do that.
All right, Legislator Criswell.
Yeah, I want to speak to that because I think that training is critical. And I think that if I were to say yes to this, I would only say yes if there was some sort of amendment saying that before access is granted, a legislator has to go through some sort of training. We define what that training is to make sure that they understand what they're looking for. Because again, for me, the danger of this is a cherry-picking situation. Oh, I found this piece of data here, and now I'm going to make a story out about with this piece of data, rather than having it in the context of an actual report which shows what that piece of data refers to or whatever. I mean, again, I use that simple reference to QuickBooks. Now you can take a QuickBooks report and you can make it say anything you want really easily. And so I want to make sure that if we're going to use it, we all have the same baseline training before we move forward with that.
Actually, Ronnie?
Yeah, I'm guessing that we'd initially benefit greatly. First of all, these capital projects, I'm guessing you could type in some pretty generic words like Elizabeth and get that, get it up on the screen. Let's do it. Let's type in Elizabeth and see if Elizabeth Street comes up, and let's see if I can navigate and get the information I just heard. And if I can do it in 30 seconds, do I win everybody's vote? Because I bet you I can. So we can literally do that with all these capital projects. It's read-only. We can't manipulate the system. And if we as elected officials want to make fools of ourselves and pull some report that we could just ask Amber or Natalie to run and then make something out of statistic or data anyways and do the same thing. If we want to make fools of ourselves and go to the media with some, you know, little piece of information that doesn't paint the correct picture, we can do that anyways. It's just amazing to me that we're overseeing a $400 million budget. I could care less. I'm guessing there's probably legislators. I know town board members and supervisors have full access in a lot of these towns to their financial systems and financials. But I would like to know the number as well. How many people have laptops that they can get on and look at in the county? What do we got? How many employees do we have total? How many, is it 10%, 20%? I mean, we talked about a couple hundred people probably that can literally do this. People from the public can FOIA this information and get it, but we won't grant ourselves access to it. I mean, if you want to have some kind of mandated training, that's fine, but to be able to type in literally roads and names and look at projects that we're doing and where we're at on contracts, to me, seems quite valuable, and we get better and better. I can understand, though the executive branch of government's been pretty fair, they're not fighting us yet, but when we get closer to getting it, we may hear some reasons out of nowhere. But ultimately, we have the same access that our budget analysts have. It's pretty simple, as if we hired another budget analyst and they were given a computer. This is not complicated.
Did you hear Roberts?
Thank you. I have a question for Deputy Exec Kelly. What does training look like to you?
It's completely tailored to the end user. So what I did in finance was very different than what I did in budget in terms of what my function was. So you're trained for the duty you perform.
Giving us training.
I don't do purchasing at a low level. I'm not entering in invoices. So I'm at an approvals level where I am. So the training is different. The report levels are different. Your access is different.
When we go on that, it's read access. We're not going to be able to...
But it's not read access to everything. That's not how it works in any of these systems, because you have protected personal information in some of these files. I don't have access to that. That's segregated to caseworkers and other people in DSS or people that deal with PPI information. I don't have access to that. So it's a very... it's intentionally segregated, enabled to protect data and have internal control.
But that's kind of confusing us, the situation, because we're not going to have access to that personal information.
I know, but you asked the question.
But what would training look like for us?
I don't know what you guys want access to. I don't have any other person that's comparable that says, I just want read-only access.
They want the, yeah. I can answer that question.
Okay.
It's what Amber and Natalie have access to. We want whatever they can read. I mean, I don't want to speak for everybody, but I think this is the comments I've heard so far over the past month, is that anything that they have access to that we would be able to normally foil, that we would have access to as well. That's okay. That's what we're looking for.
So I'll go back to New World and to IS to understand what that training level would be. They're doing entries. You guys would be running reports. So it's understanding the different screens and modules you'd have access to. Understanding the reports you could generate out of that. That's it.
You think like a 4-hour course?
I don't know. I'm not going to answer it. Like, I'm not going to answer it because I just got the information.
I think the best thing is to take advantage of Natalie and Amber's.
Yeah, you guys have to look at
the system and get an idea of it.
I'd like to make an amendment on this, that when we pass this, that it takes effect 60 days from now to give the legislators proper training.
All right. That's a motion?
That's a motion.
Second. Okay. Legislator Cahill.
Thank you. So I think, you know, Chris kind of, Deputy Exec Kelly kind of answered this a little bit, but I mean, I don't think there's a person on the county payroll that has 100% access to everything, right? Am I right about that? Maybe at a security level, but I mean, the comptroller doesn't have 100%.
No.
Right? You know what I mean? And so, it's to me, it just seems like it's like you got a
not broad, in that respect,
not anymore.
A broad
not
brush,
in the same way that you're discussing.
Floor. Come on,
yeah. Sorry. Yeah. So, you know, for me, you know, I understand the people, you know, people wanting to see the items that we're talking about, but you know, the first thing you know, we do is ask them anyway. We're gonna ask the deputy clerks anyway to help us sort through this. I don't even know what the system looks like. But when you're in read-only access, does it actually have the capability of generating reports in read-only? A lot of software does not, right? I don't know this. And also, you know, it's across the board. It's got personnel, all that other stuff in there that, you know, and setting it up for, you know, I guess it would be on a requested basis for individuals and then all the training and that. I mean, you know, I don't know. When we have trained personnel already that can get us that information, I'm just not seeing the, you know, the benefit to giving one, you know, a group of people the idea to go in there and start scouring through this when they could, you know, just get the information they're looking for from our clerks.
So, yeah, I mean, I can see the benefit for the people that would want to do the legwork that have a question and say it's an off hour or it's a weekend, or Amber and Natalie are overwhelmed and have a whole bunch of other requests in the queue, and the look might actually solicit other questions for Natalie and Amber, but it you know, it's hard for me to see the harm. I mean, I think it is about defining, and that was my instinct. What you defined is exactly what my instinct was that what's being requested, at least in my mind, what would be access to essentially what our fiscal analysts have access to in a read-only format. I'm not going to offer it right now because I don't have the language. I know that Legislator Petit did make some changes and references training in the resolution, but I think it would be helpful in terms of moving this forward to in the resolves, and I'll speak to legislators Petit, Gavars, and Maloney about it. Two of you are here, so I'm saying it right now, to actually put in language that requires training before getting approval, and that acknowledges whatever VPN or IS, we can be general about it, but that there is whatever security protocols need to be required, that there is a sign-off, if we move forward with that there is a sign-off on the security protocols in terms of the legislators that want the access and would get the access if we get to that. So I would like to see those changes in it. And then, again, saying to, because I didn't respond, I've spoken to the fiscal analysts multiple times about other issues, but not this one, I would like to see the you know, the training, the work through. I know there's a concern about doing it as a whole committee, so however we work that out. And then to have the ongoing conversation with the exec side of the house, and I ask if there are any other concerns. And then again, I'd like to reiterate that I'd like to have a sense of how many in this organization have access read-only to the system, because I don't have any sense what that means.
Is that your stuff?
Thank you, Chair Rivers. I just wanted to say a couple of things. One, you know, anyone who thinks this is going to mean less work for our legislative analysts is wrong. This is almost certainly going to mean more work for them. That said, you know, Deputy Executive Kelly mentioned how everything is kind of sectioned off to prevent sensitive data. You know, for those of us that are initially uncomfortable with this because of the issues that I mentioned at a prior meeting regarding access control, and we've talked about, you know, people's laptops and legislators not historically being good at using secure systems, I'm not really hearing specifics about what information is in there that's sensitive. And so if I was from the executive branch of government and I didn't want this to happen, I would probably want to give a little bit more detail about what the information is that should be sectioned off, because as someone who was initially uncomfortable with this, having a hard time, like, as much as I would love to take my colleague up on the challenge that this would be easy to pass next year and prove that to be wrong, I'm not feeling the spirit moving me to fight against this, because I'm not really hearing what is so sensitive about it. So my request is for that to be made clear.
I echo that.
All right, let's see, Kiel. Yeah, so just to expand on that, there's two whereases in the resolution that talk about security levels and who identifies what those security levels are and who identifies how you get past those security levels. There should be a much clearer definition of what that means. And also confidential data, such as, now we're getting specific to one, personnel files. So what other confidential data should we be seeing in this resolution? Because if we forget to put one in there, right, as we pass this resolution, does that then mean that we have access to that data if it's not listed, right?
John, if I could just,
I think it says without the ability.
Hold on.
Yeah. So part of the information that's segregated is DSS case files. So there's financial transactions associated with the cases that we manage, which is hidden from view from financial analysts there, from us, from anyone else that doesn't have direct work on that part. So that's what I was talking about, Legislator Uchitel, is there are sections of the system that aren't available to anybody except for those that are doing that work. The other part is when the people that work in the system are trained to do a function, and that's the function they perform, and they become, you know, experts in that. A lot of the people that are in the system every day doing the work are, it is financial work, or their accountants, or they understand the context of the data that they're viewing, or the journal entries, or how it's structured, so they can actually elicit the information that helps them do their job, right? So they're trained, they're hired, they're civil service or management, whatever they are. It's not as easy as just running a Google search and here's the report that we want. That's not how an ERP works. So you have to be trained in order to elicit the information you want in order to do your job. And that is based on the role you were hired to do. I go to other staff who have expertise in those areas to get that information for myself, as do department heads and others. They go to the trained staff. They're not all experts in the system that way. So taking things out of context, extremely easy. If you don't know what you're looking at, if you're not trained, if you're not familiar on a daily basis. So sure, read-only access, that only has to do with security, not being able to manipulate or change data or files. That is one layer. That has nothing to do with the ability to elicit, again, the information you're looking for out of the system. That's why we have trained staff on our side, trained staff on your side, in order to make that analysis, to do that. So I don't know, it's not like we're trying to get more information from you guys. There's not anything else other than that, because first time the requests have come, I've asked several times to understand what other counties are doing it this way so we can learn from maybe some other experience so we can do it well. I'm not hearing any of that back.
same money.
Once again, I'd love to take you up on that challenge of popping this up, which we just haven't been willing to do early on. We talked about popping it up there. But secondly, you have full access, and then you go, obviously not the DSS in these case files, which I don't even know why we've talked about it many times. Kevin pointed that out a minute ago. Why are we even referencing it if we're not going to have access to it anyways? It's almost, we want to talk about it.
Legislator, you should tell us the question.
Excuse me. Thank you. So, can you give me an example, through the chair, of sensitive information that Natalie down here has access to? Because we keep talking, I think that was Abe's question. If we get access to what our budget analysts have, can you give us an example of something sensitive? Because all I'm hearing is you goofballs might go and take information
chair,
that you don't understand.
The name calling?
Come on.
No.
Chair.
I'm saying we're being, it's being insensitive.
Seriously?
That we're goofballs.
He's saying
I'm looking at him.
That we're goofballs, Chris, not you.
Chair,
and
I'd
love
like
it.
Not to characterize that way myself.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's...
A little help with the gavel if I could get a question out without being interrupted by Mr. Kelly. And if he could answer the question through the chair, what is the sensitive information that Natalie has access to that if we just went generically and took Natalie's computer home, what sensitive information would we have access to? I think that's kind of what Abe was trying to get at. Can you answer that question?
I would ask that he not answer it tonight, and that plus the other questions that have been asked, as well as some of the direction that I think Chair Bertels is looking to go in, which I agree with those amendments, is to have those for, ask for a postponement and postpone it for next week to try to get that. And if we don't have for next week, we can discuss about postponing again. But I think there are some controls that we need to look at. I think just tonight he learned that what we were actually looking for, I don't think that Deputy Kelly was here last month when we started talking about this, so he wasn't aware we were just looking for sort of mirroring what our fiscal analysts have access to. We're not looking for keys to the kingdom here. So I would ask that he not answer that tonight, but that plus a list of other questions get answered. And if you want to look at, in terms of your question about typing in Google searches and all that, work with our analysts to see if that's possible. You'll have your answer for next week then. Let's see. You still?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Chair Bartels?
I'm also good.
Someone to postpone it for a week?
Second?
I'll second.
Second.
Did you?
I just sorry.
I just wanted to add another element from my past life in the budget office, where there was a similar situation where we would always get questions about costs that were pulled from the financial system from other people. And it takes a lot of time to, not just for the legislative clerks, but I'm sure for our staff too, to debunk those additions and analyses and kind of go back. I just foresee a lot of scenarios where not so much people going to the media or things like that, but somebody saying, okay, this program costs X amount, and why is it that amount? And then we have to go back and spend a lot of time figuring out how that amount was even calculated, what the actual amount should be, and then I've seen that a lot. So that's just another element to add out there, is the time of going and reconciling all the different analyses that might come out of this, when it would be easier to just ask somebody who's trained in the system who can pull the numbers.
All right. All those in favor of postponing?
Aye.
All opposed?
Okay. No.
Fair enough. Okay. Resolution 370 as presented.
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second.
Second discussion?
So, I just have a question. Legislator Maloney is one of the sponsors, is here. There are a couple amendments that were made to this, and I'm wondering, it is just a whereas, but I'm wondering about the first amendment. I don't know, the language feels really wonky to me versus what was there before. Can you maybe talk about the...
This is, I said last time, this is a starting point that I'm looking for feedback. This
mm-hmm.
is not nearly ready. There's
okay.
things about it we got to make sure are legal. So I just think we should have more.
Okay.
More involvement at times. Maybe it ends up being a more of a policy about certainly things that we initiate that we've talked about before, where we have certain areas we have a little more access to how these things are looking, you know, before they go out, or even when they come in after they're unsealed, but before granted. But it's a starting point. This, I have, it's going to, you guys got a lot. I'm not looking for, as like, you know, I thought we're pretty close on 369. 370 really is a long conversation.
I will make a motion then to postpone a month, but I just want to say, I do think it's a worthy conversation, and I will reach out to engage with you, and particularly, again, I have some suggestions on the changes that were made in the first, again, I know it's just a whereas, but in the first whereas, but particularly on legislative initiatives at the front end of an RFP and RFQ process. I think we've all seen the downsides of not having been involved and things going out without actually coming back and then not reflecting legislative intent. And I don't really see the harm on the front end if there's a draft of that draft being shared. Again, not on every operational draft. RFPs are going out all the time. RFQs are going out all the time. But on ones that are a direct result of a legislative initiative. So I'd like to work with you on figuring that out, and we'll have the conversations with both sides of the house. But I really, on that end, I think it's something that we've seen the problems on frankly on more than one occasion. So it would be pretty critical on legislative initiatives.
I want to agree with that. I think that there's a lot of merit in this, and I also think that we just have to recognize the time constraints and get really clear about that
yeah.
We can't just hold something up for 2 months because we decided we want to be a part of the RFP process. So I think putting together, you know, realistic time frames of when we can have our legislative intent expressed in these documents would be smart. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll make a motion to postpone.
I'll second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Resolution 372. Is there a motion?
Moving away from the word.
Motion.
I'll make a motion.
Second. 372. That's Cato. Second. Robert. Second.
I'll
second.
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 Like
second.
Second.
Okay, discussion.
Here we go. So this is the first time seeing this. I think that, you know, we're postponing a lot, but I think that this is going to take a little bit. One thing that jumps out at me is on the first look. Well, one, I'd like to see a financial impact based on last year. Someone could run those numbers. In years past, when we've done these kinds of resolutions, I recall having a bottom end. Like, on some level, this is meant to address affordable housing, and yet there's no exclusion for someone buying an affordable house. You know, if you're buying a home for $100,000, you're actually going to be subject to this transfer tax. So I think we should consider, if we were to move forward with this, having a bottom end exclusion, meaning, you know, a sale price, a starting sale price somewhere above the median that that has to happen with the transaction, because applying it to all sales to me kind of defeats the purpose. But I definitely think we need to see the full picture. We need to have a context of what this would mean financially from, you know, the previous. And I'd also like to get the history of any other. I'd like to look at this against other transfer taxes that we have.
That's the order.
Thank you. So I can answer Chair Bartel's question and then give some background about this, as I'm the one who introduced it. And I want to thank Legislator Petit, who's not here, for also supporting it so far, and especially Comptroller Gallagher, who has done a lot of the analysis around this and even produced a report that mentions this as one of two opportunities for revenue, the other being a mortgage recording tax. So the state of New York currently imposes this kind of tax and has since 1968. and it is a rate of, let me just be correct here, it is, $2, thank you, Comptroller Gallagher, $2 for $500. And so we are asking for the county to impose an additional 50 cents per $500. We have the county clerk's report. I'm looking at the past couple of years. The county clerk's report that was released last year, which had the 2021 figures, we sent $8.1 million to New York State, and we collected a nominal fee just for administering it of $6,800. The following year, that was last year, we sent New York State $8.08 million and collected $6,200. Now, according to the comptroller's projections, if we didn't do what Chair Bartel suggests and have a bottom end exclusion, we could look at Broome County, for example, where Binghamton is, which is a similar population, a little more than our county. They're a central city. Binghamton is a little bigger than the city, Kingston. They have the same tax rate that we're contemplating here, 50 cents per $500. And if we had imposed that based on 2021 transactions, we would have raised $2 million. And that, again, assumes that it's just for all transfers, doesn't exclude the bottom. In the comptroller's report, she did conclude by pointing out that we might want to consider excluding the bottom end for first-time home buyers or for low-income home buyers. I will point out that if we didn't do that, on a $100,000 property, the tax would be $100. So maybe that's a lot of money, maybe it's not. We can debate that. I'm certainly open to a bottom end exclusion, though. Beyond that, I just wanted to highlight that this was introduced at toward the end of last legislative term in 2021, at the time by Chair Donaldson. Legislators Parity and Petit had been involved at the time. It was not ultimately pursued, though. It was withdrawn. And so I think that's everything that I wanted to cover. One more thing. I had, in consideration again of this bottom end exclusion, I had sent a letter toward the beginning of the year to our state senators and assembly members from Ulster County asking that they consider on the state level something that we don't have the power to do locally, but that's to establish a progressive real estate transfer tax. Real estate transfer tax have been an option for counties since 2007 under the Hudson Valley Community Preservation Act, but related to a flat tax regardless of the value of the property being sold or the income of the individuals purchasing. That's what I have to say. Thank you.
Mr. Roberts?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Reading this, there already is a bottom line on the amount, and that's $500. So I know it's low, and but it does say that in here. But most houses, you know, that we buy are now probably minimum $300,000, maybe $250,000 here in Kingston market. I don't know, but we're looking at $300,000. You know, legislator earners math is correct, and it would be $300. Anybody that's bought a house gets killed with fees at the closing. So we're now trying to help, you know, solve the affordable housing problem by making housing more unaffordable. There should be a better way to raise revenue or cut spending in order to solve these goals that the majority party wants. I'm going to be a no on this. I'm also going to be a no on a postponement.
Mr. Kale? Yeah, so I guess through you to the legislator Earner. So the five counties at the bottom of that table, I guess from the controls report, are they the only five counties in the state that collect a mortgage tax right now?
This is real estate transfer tax.
Real estate transfer tax, sorry, yeah.
It's paid by the seller, and those are the only five counties that collect it for their own purposes. There are municipalities that now collect a real estate transfer tax for the purpose of open space conservation.
So that would be like towns and cities, yeah, okay. Thank you. Let's see.
Yeah, I mean, it says real estate transfer. Does that include inheritance?
No, it would not.
It would not?
There's no fee. Chair Bartel?
No, Comptroller Gallagher confirmed. I just wanted to state that it was the seller that's paying, for better or worse.
For better.
Mm-hmm. You're going to postpone?
Well, if I may, just to respond to Legislator Nolan, you know, you save for better, but it's not necessarily. For some people, their whole life savings is in their home, and when they're selling their home, it's the equivalent of, you know, their retirement. You know, so, I mean, and I certainly have met those people on the campaign trail, knocking on doors. I actually, years ago, in the Shangam portion of my district, met a man who was putting up the for sale house, for sale sign on a house that he built, saying he couldn't afford to live here anymore, and was taking the equity from that sale, and he was in tears when I spoke to him, to move out in the county. So I think that, it's tough decisions. It's also, but I appreciate Legislator Erner's instinct, because it's like we're, the concept of, and we're talking about this in other venues as well, raising revenue for specific needs and for specific purposes, even though this doesn't legislate the purpose, the intent is there, is important, because revenues, you know, are not always consistent, right? We, you know, we've seen that with sales tax, and we are at the mercy of revenues. The bulk of what we, our property tax doesn't even cover, you know, our mandated services. So I just think that this is something that's going to take some serious discussion. Legislator Erner pointed to the last sponsors. Those weren't the year before. Legislator Archer and Legislator Donaldson put the same thing in and got crushed with quite a lot of feedback from certain organizations and et cetera. So this is going to involve more conversation, but I just think it's a complex issue, but one that's very worthy of discussion. Thank you, Legislator Erner, for bringing it forward.
So I'll move to postpone this for 1 month.
Second. Ms. Erner?
I just wanted to clarify that although the default would be that the seller pays this tax, they can negotiate with the buyer, and it has to be paid, and if the seller fails to pay, it's technically a joint responsibility, but the buyer will have to pay it if the seller doesn't.
All those in favor? Mm-hmm. Aye. Richard Roberts, your opposed? Resolution 375. Motion?
So moved.
Second. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Resolution 377. Yes, actually, we have a motion to block.
This is ARPA. Oh, it's going to Public Works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's several of them that did not make it through the other committee, so we have a motion to block 377.
If I may, I'm supportive of blocking, but really I guess if you want to take anything that didn't go to Public Works out, you could, but in many ways, ARPA is the committee of original jurisdiction on this one. Even though there are other committees, this is squarely an ARPA project administered by ARPA.
You want to take it down?
I just feel like it's a little different, but I'm okay deferring if everyone wants to hold on everything, but we've moved the rest of these, and given that the chair of, I don't want to speak for her, but the chair of Public Works actually represents this district, I'm sure she's happy to have it move as quickly as possible.
I'm sorry, do you have a motion for 377?
Yeah, I'll make the motion.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 385. Can I have a motion?
I'll
make a motion. Discussion?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 387. Can I have a motion to postpone 1 week for additional information needed?
So moved.
Second?
I'll second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So carried. 388. Have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Second? Yep. Mr. Criswell? Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 389. Have a motion?
Make it.
Second? Mr. Criswell? Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
So carried. 390. Can I have a motion?
Done.
Second?
Second.
Second. Chair Bertels. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Actually, I'm going to be opposed for 389. 390. Can I have a motion?
John?
So moved.
Sorry. Second?
I'll second.
Second, Kim. Yeah.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 391. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 392. Can I have a motion?
Got it.
Second?
Second.
As well. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 393. Can I have a motion?
So moved. Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 394. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 395.
Move it.
Second?
Second.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed?
Aye.
Okay. 396. Can I have a motion?
Second. It.
Okay. Opposed? Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? 397. Can I have a motion?
Done.
Second?
Second.
Crispo? Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 398. Can I have a motion?
Got it.
Second? Crispo? Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? 399. Can I have a motion?
Got it.
Second?
Second.
As well. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. All right. I'll go back to the block here. Can I have a motion to block 400, 402, 403, 405 through 412, 427 through 429?
Wait. Through 412. Hold on one second.
Do that one more time?
I can give you this little pad afterwards, but 400, 402, 403, 405 through 412, mm-hmm. and then 427 through 429.
I'll make the motion. I am going to want to speak on one of them, but I'll make the motion.
I'll second
motion.
The block.
Okay. Any discussion on the block? All in favor of blocking?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. All right. On the block, I have a motion.
So, if
make
I may
make motion
speak.
First. Discussion.
Motion to discuss.
Second.
Okay.
Second.
Second.
First of all, okay. Discussion. Chair Bertels.
Okay. I know that the intention is to postpone for 1 week because of the Public Works committee postponement, and since it's the committee of original jurisdiction. But I just want to flag one resolution for this body that causes me concern, and in advance of the Public Works committee, and that is Resolution 402, which is approving a lease renewal for Vandell Properties LLC for the fabrication facility. What's being proposed, there's a part of me that you don't want to get me started on this property, and I keep threatening to bring in my, you know, foot-wide file, and should call former legislator Rich Parody to discuss, because all I would have to say, this is a legacy issue in this legislature, this resolution. But why I'm bringing up right now is I really feel like there is a massive disconnect that someone's going to have to explain to me in renewing a lease, a five-year lease, when we're in the middle of a space study. It just seems like this is the time to right now. Whatever we have to do, go on a month-to-month, go on a short-term renewal while we wait for the results of that. We specifically asked to look at rental properties. We should be aggressively thinking about it. I realize there's a functional value to this. I mean, I would challenge anyone to look at the rates of this rental and appreciate that we've paid for this building now probably 20 times over. I mean, easily. So, again, I'm not saying we should be moving out, but I don't understand a submission of a resolution for a five-year renewal when we are in the midst of a space study. That do we know when the space study's coming back? This summer. So we're months away from getting the results of a space study, and so again, I feel like we should proceed with serious caution on this one, and I don't want this meeting to go by without me saying that.
Mr. Kale?
So the lease expired July 1st. Do I understand that correctly? Because the lease it states July 1st, ending July 1st, 2023, and ending June 30th, 2028. So it's already expired.
Mm-hmm. That's on the curb already.
Yeah.
So I'm asking the executive staff if that's accurate.
I believe so.
Okay. So, you know, is there any way we can amend this to 1 year, you know, or even 6 months till we get the space study back? Because I am 100% in tune with the chair of the legislature on this. You know, we could have built, you know, 14 buildings in the time that we've been paying the rent out there. You know,
if you review the contract, the lease language, we should have our typical out clause. So we should look at the detail there before, because then it's why do 6 months or a year if you can get out in 90 days either way.
Well, it's the terms. It's the terms.
I know, but it's the standard lease.
We can end for
60 days?
I think so.
So I'm just saying, like, if we can get out in 60, or we may be ending up there for 3 to 5 years, like, I think we should not be so short-sighted, I guess, and just saying we're going to do 6 months. We don't know if the dynamic's going to change in 4 weeks, but we know we can get out in 60.
Right.
So I don't know what the harm is there.
I can tell you what the harm is for that. The harm is that we're going to forget.
Mm-hmm.
That's being very honest with you. The harm is that this body will forget in 6 months from now to even ask the question, potentially forget, to ask the question, what are we doing with this place? And if we put a time limit on it where it has to be revisited, and we've done this a few times in the past year or so, is we're setting a clock on ourselves, essentially, for it to be rediscussed. Instead of, while knowing we have the out clause in all of our contracts, that's a pull method rather than the push method.
So you would renegotiate with the property owner for 6 months, and if they don't accept it, then we leave?
Well, I mean, you know, look, so how about
an agreement in place? Sorry. I'm asking the question, like, because the 60-day out clause is for some of these purposes, if we were to buy another property or whatever the reason is to pull out for financial reasons, it gives us that ability, but it also, this gives us some constancy for essential work.
Mm-hmm.
I guess there hasn't been any other, so it's a question for you guys. I know.
Yeah, so we see the lease every 5 years.
Yeah.
5 years ago, I wasn't here, and I think some of the people were here, but not everybody was here 5 years ago to challenge the lease at that time. And I'm going to guess that the lease rate is probably pretty close to what it was 5 years ago, and probably pretty close to what it was 5 years before that, which tells me that he's just milking the cow, right? I mean, he is just polishing the golden egg here, right? And for me, the amount of money that he's getting each year, I'm going to predict that the owner of that property didn't even pay that to build that building. And what he's getting each year in a lease. And now we're committing to 5 more years of that. And I just think that's kind of irresponsible when we're in the middle of a space study. And this is a facility that, you know, the function of that facility has saved this county millions and millions of dollars over the years. I won't dispute that, right? Currently, my understanding is it could use some staffing, right, in that building to complete more tasks for the counties, right? So, you know, just from that aspect of it, you know, so maybe not 60 days, maybe make it a year. If the owner of the property is willing to go out and have the same rate year after year after year with the inflation that we're seeing, with the property values increasing that we're seeing, you know, they have to know that at some point somebody's going to push back on what we're paying for that building, right? And, you know, and looking at what we could do differently, right?
Yeah, and sorry, Legislator Cahill, I'm not, okay. Get all of those points, but I would also not rely on a space study to determine exactly which properties we should go to and if they're available on the market for every need that we have. So we have to continue to enter into leases and extend agreements and do those things even while we're doing the report and after we get the report, because it's not going to just clearly lay out the playing field in such a detailed manner that we'll be able to go start buying property after property. I don't think the legislature would appreciate that effort either.
One of the other things that comes to my mind is with the staffing of the bridge facility, are we actually saving money now? Are we still saving money on projects rather than contracting them out when we go out? You know, and to what percentage is it? Are we breaking even with the leases? And
I think we're still saving significant money using in-house labor versus hiring external contractors, which charge significantly more.
Good question.
I don't know that, like, the $100,000 or whatever we're paying annually here, I don't know that it, like, I guess, I don't know that it gets cheaper if we go somewhere else. I'm not trying to invalidate the point, but it may get more expensive. So, and then the margins change.
This is not a fancy building,
No, it doesn't matter, but commercial real estate or warehouse, it's actually warehouse with limited office space is some of the most prime real estate right now that we're chasing for multiple functions, including DPW right now. Mm-hmm. So I think if I'm hearing you, more of the point is that we've paid into this property for, what is it, 20 years?
I think it was, I don't know, 20.
Yes, 20 years.
I don't want to lose, like, I'm not trying to diminish that point, but I'm just trying to say, like, I don't want to put so much stock in the space study is going to tell us how much space and what type of space.
Right.
It's not going to determine the market for us. We have some market analysis mm-hmm. that's attached to that contract. Mm-hmm. So it's Bergman running it, and then Camilleen Associates can do market analysis. But that's market analysis. That's not market availability necessarily. Mm-hmm. So...
So I mean,
I'm just trying to like say that we still need to continue business. If it has to be renegotiated, I'll defer to my counterpart, Deputy LaValle. But I just want to make sure, like, we still have to sign leases. We still have to move forward on properties.
Right.
If we're going to start limiting them all to a year pending the outcome of study,
well,
I'm just pointing it out. It's setting a precedent if we bring you other leases.
Yeah.
We're going to limit ourselves in a marketplace.
Right, and what I'm saying here is like...
Maybe it's just this one.
For the type of building that this is and the type of activity that's in that building, you know, we should build our own somewhere. We can find a piece of land to put this on. We only need an acre or 2 acres to build this place, right? And we could upgrade the facility to what's needed now, staff it correctly, right? And put all those things in place. And for me, you know, $500,000 over 5 years, you know, that's what we would pay on the bond for that, right?
Oh, yeah, less than that.
Less than that, right?
Yeah.
So why aren't we doing that? Why aren't we investing in ourselves? Why aren't we doing those kinds of things? That's my biggest gripe about it. We keep paying money. We did it with the family court in the old Goodyear building for a number of years. They did the same exact thing until we came to our senses and moved the family court, right? And to me, this is a very similar situation.
So I think we can sort of address this in two ways. One is we're going to postpone anywhere for a week, so we have an opportunity again. But also I think we can put our own ticker back on this, is that it'd be revisited by this committee in 6 months from now. So this way it does pop in front of us into the question, or 6 months, whatever it is,
whatever.
Gets revisited. Yeah. Even though the contract and
the lease
is there,
we can cancel it.
So.
Yeah. And I support that by saying that then you will have a space study, we'll have a better sense of how much space we need, right? And then thinking about the operation and, you know, where that the right size of the bridge operation and the space to accommodate that, you know, that starts a process with more mm-hmm. information. So that's what...
That's music to my ears. Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to echo some of what Legislator Cahill said, and also put it in context. I was elected in the year that we signed this lease. I just looked at some of the old news articles. They called it a switcheroo. There was outrage about the money, which was very different, very similar to the amount we're paying today. Every time it comes up, I feel like I'm in Groundhog Day. It's honestly a specific angst related to this property. And that's part of the problem that I think you're hearing from Legislator Cahill, that, you know, we talk about it and then nothing happens. And then 5 years later, we see the lease again, and then we talk about it again. And I'm sure if you go back over the 16 years I've been here, every time it comes up, I say something about it, and we just keep doing the same thing. So I appreciate, I do feel like I'm being heard. I do. I'm not just saying that. But I think we have to do something. We do have to do something different with this. And I spoke with Public Works about what needed to be looked at in a space study. This was one of the specifics. This was one of the specifics I brought up. And it's not specific to the address. It's specific to the need that Legislator Cahill is speaking to. It's specific to investing in ourselves. It's specific to years and years of, honestly, lazy disinvestment by just sticking with the same thing and saying, okay, this is fine, this is good, we're already in it, and then we move on to the next problem. I really think we got to look at that space study, but we have to do something different in with this regard. I would like to see this county invest in a facility. These aren't fancy facilities, to your point, but invest in a right-sized facility. I don't know if it's big or small. I have no idea. But a right-sized facility that we own, that we stop, you know, we stop the cycle of the same thing over and over again. Because, again, it drives me a little crazy. It drives me a little crazy that we're still talking about this.
When I, in my prior term, we did discuss this in Public Works, and we actually had people go out and look to find another building. The benefit, the cost savings from even one bridge project done out of this building pays for the building. So the reason we keep going through it again, I believe, is because it actually saves us a huge amount of money to have this facility, and finding the equivalent or better facility to move into was not possible, or we didn't feel like we had the funds on hand. So I think it's right to do it again, but the fact that we've gone through it and come to the same decision doesn't mean we came to the same wrong decision. It just may mean that it wasn't, you know, the constellation of variables wasn't such that we should move forward. So I just like to go into it with that mindset of, okay, does it make sense now? Can we find the property? Is this the year that we can do it? And prior years weren't necessarily wrong. They just, it didn't line up. And that, I know that was true at the time that I was on the legislature. And I think it was time, you know, I was coming to Public Works meetings long before that. I think it was true in previous years. But 4 years ago, we did ask for a look to go find another facility. And the answer was, we don't see it at a price we can afford. So maybe it wasn't a good enough look. We charged the new team to do it. And, you know, I think we're in a better funding situation if we find something that's expensive but will pay for itself over 5 or 10 years. Maybe this group would be willing to do that. Maybe a prior group wasn't.
All right. All those in favor of postponement?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 413. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second? Second?
I'll second.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Hold on. Okay. No, I'm good.
Opposed? So carried. 414. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Roberts? Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 415. Can I have a motion?
Got it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
So carried. 416. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Okay, discussion? All those in favor?
Wait, I have a discussion. Yeah. Can someone speak to this and just give us background on it? Because I think the first committee is that.
Yep. That is the ICLA Quick. That's a clerk's deeds and mortgages system. It's a renewal and support for 5 years. So that's the request by the clerk to extend this maintenance and support for this for another 5 years.
Thank you.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So carried. 417. Do you have a motion?
So moved.
Second? Discussion? Chairman does.
Same. Can we just get some background on Periscope Holdings?
Yes. This one is an e-sourcing solution for purchasing. It's really a cloud-based solution with other municipalities that can solicit and evaluate processes and purchasing solutions. It's a 3-year agreement, and it's hosted. I don't have the details with me, but it's the e-sourcing solution for purchasing for solicitation and evaluation of procurement.
Thank you, Chair. So this is an effort that Director Jordan has been engaged in for a while with several other counties in order to basically enter into a shared purchasing arrangement, and Periscope is the program that will help facilitate that.
Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Okay. 418. Do we have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. 420. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Vote.
432. Do you have a motion? 432. Criswell? Discussion? Second?
Second.
Discussion? Chairman Pels?
I was just, maybe if the sponsor could give us some background.
So Hatfield, I think we may end up just taking no action this evening.
Okay.
This is a policy that would say that any policy that we put in place for our own buildings and grounds would also apply to our vendors. And it largely is the practice, as I understand it, with purchasing. But this would formalize it and also formalize the collection of the policies. Because when I went to ask what policies we have, that list had to be created on the fly. So this would be a resolution that would say that the clerk's office would maintain this and add to it as we create new policies. So bring it all into one place. It also includes a provision that if there is a policy that was enacted that it has a waiver, that a vendor can be relieved of the requirement to follow the policy, that would no longer be done just through the executive's office, but would require legislative approval at 2/3 vote, as it is written currently. And that would allow us to say, yes, we think that it's important enough that a group get a waiver on this. The reason I'm saying that it might be better to take no action is that Deputy Director Kelly, who would have been the person I would have worked with on this, was away, and so we haven't gotten a chance to see if there are ways to bring this together and make it work for the shared goals that we have. There might be still some places of disagreement when we finish that work, but I think I can bring it back to you next month, and it'll be in a better place.
Okay. Melanie?
Yeah, you know, you make a good point about policies in general, and I go up there a lot. I mean, we have an LLC thing we're trying to get into, purchasing, things like that, and if I'm not here 10 years from now, or whoever, I think it is something that we got to talk about going into the future, maybe a function of the audit committee or something, to do an annual report on all collecting all policies and making sure there's none that counteract each other, they're all being followed. But I don't know a lot about this. I was wondering, what if there's an unintended circumstance? We have to definitely go through all the policies and make sure the ones we want to exempt. Is there a policy coming forth after this that you want to add? That's something you want these businesses to do, or just the existing?
It would be all policies, past and future.
Even procurement?
Yeah.
So they'd have to go, when buying, they'd have to go out to competitive bid, or things like that. That's a lot to oversee and make sure that these companies are doing it. I think we probably want to choose policies that we would like to see these businesses specifically do, work through what it's going to take to make sure there's oversight on it, who's providing that oversight, verifying that it's being done. I don't disagree with the idea in a lot of ways, but there's a lot in that.
Chair Christmas?
That was one exact point too. The oversight of it, I just think it's an enormous task, and who's going to do it, how's it going to get done, is it going to get done annually? It's a lot to take on. So I'm behind this. I just want to see how that would work out.
Motion to postpone 1 month.
So moved.
Second.
I'll second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
All right.
Opposed? So carried. There's some forthcoming resolutions. Would like to.
I was going to just on. I had a comment on some of the documents that were circulated. Just maybe that now is okay. It's kind of new business. I was going to ask some specifics, but instead of the specifics, I can wait for next week. I'm just going to ask in terms of the updates that were provided regarding 701 and Enterprise West, those two documents. For the 701 Grant Avenue document, in terms of the financials, can you break it out by month? It just says year to date. It would be helpful to see what the monthly expenses were, and also to see if there's fluctuation by month. And for Enterprise West, I realize, you know, there should be very little expenses now. And again, since it's year to date, since it's actual expenses, it's hard to gauge if I'm looking at anything new unless I pull up old reports. But I noticed that in the fiscal year to date operations, there are lines that my understanding is we've been reimbursed for, so maybe we could reflect that, because there's a gas and electricity line, you and I spoke about this, maybe we can have this report reflect reimbursements as well. And maybe once we do that, then if I have questions, I can ask them next week or ask them directly to you. Thank you.
Questions? for your stuff.
This is in regard to two other resolutions that are in that were postponed in a different committee. Can I speak about those quickly now if we're at the end? Or
which ones are
they? 381 and 382.
Oh, I was going to call them.
Okay, good. Planner I just wanted Doyle. To make sure that that was still
I was going to call Planner Doyle to talk about 381 and 382, even though they're not before us tonight. Yeah. Just quick, you know,
thank you,
discussion.
The County Department put these in there. They pertain to the project on Golden Hill. We put them in recognizing the fact that we didn't have enough information for them to be considered by the legislature, but we wanted to give you ample opportunity to ask questions and to increase your understanding of what's being proposed here. You recall the county did approve the county applying for a solar grant for the project on Golden Hill. We received approximately $1.6 million. So one of the resolutions essentially allows us to sign that contract with the state. It would be a revenue contract associated with the state. We do not have that contract as of yet. We're still waiting for the state to essentially provide us with that contract. It's a fairly new program to have essentially this type of funding be available to affordable housing. The other resolution deals with the agreements between the County of Ulster and Penrose, or the developer of the Golden Hill project, and that's required as because in order for us to essentially receive the grant and utilize it, the county has to continue to own that system. So those agreements essentially provide for a continuing ownership of the county of that system by essentially establishing an environmental easement over the project so that we have access to the system and we continue to have an ownership interest. Folks may remember that this was something similar that was done with respect to the compost facility that was for RA, where you have an environmental easement over that site to make sure that you continue to ownership. The other agreements in there are an agreement with respect to maintenance and design of the system, so that the developer of the project will assume the maintenance and design cost associated for the system, as well as the matching cost for the grant. And last but not least, there is a power purchase agreement associated with that, so that the county agrees to sell the power back to the project. That's a real high-level look at that. I urge you to take a look at those agreements and make sure you're familiar with them, and we'll be happy to answer any questions. We did get some questions from the committee in terms of useful life of the equipment, the construction costs, should they run out. We're working on those answers right now.
Thank you. I was going to ask about the follow-up and the questions. I want to first thank you, Planner Doyle, for putting this in early and allowing the process and the questions. Like, I feel like this is an example of the best case scenario with these types of resolutions, rather than it feeling last minute and us feeling rushed, which we often do. Allowing the opportunity and you taking the time to show up at so many committee meetings, I also appreciate, including waiting till the end. I look forward to getting the answers to those questions, but also we just want to reiterate that as soon as you have contract in hand, if you can circulate it, and our clerks will circulate it to all committees, so that if there are questions on the specifics of the contract, you'll receive those too. Again, this to me is an optimal way of actually working through a complex project.
I agree. I
just had a quick question about the easement. So is that an easement for the entire footprint of the property, or is it a specific area?
It will be an easement, as I understand the easement, and I've read it twice, so I haven't taken a real deep dive in it. As I understand the easement, it will be associated with the facility itself that we own. We'll have access to it, we'll have an access easement, and we'll have an ownership easement for those particular pieces of property. So we essentially can establish to the state the fact that we do have an ownership interest.
Is that Mike?
We went over a lot of this the other day, but I would just like to say that this is a $1 billion developer. We were told we were going to pay for the jail demo. We did. We knocked down some other buildings there that displaced large portions of BPW that are still displaced. Without paying millions of dollars for a solar array that we're going to own on a piece of property that will not be paying school taxes, even though the $1 billion developers, they just entered into a 30-year pilot for the city of Kingston, so any kid that goes, moves into these apartments will be going to school at a school district that has given no money to educate them. They use Family of Woodstock, which may end up being the owner. One of the reasons this might be being held up is we don't even know who's going to be on the contract. Penrose or Family of Woodstock. This Family of Woodstock is going to be 51% owner. There was an individual in the city of Kingston that was fighting for this, for the 30-year pilot, said if we don't give it to us, we'll just have Family of Woodstock own 51% anyways. They won't be paying any type of school taxes anyway, so they're not going to anyways. And on top of it, at the end, because they're taking state and federal tax credits, it's going to be a lottery that we move a bunch of people from outside of the county into this subsidized housing on the Golden Hill property that we could have done so much with, from respite housing to the number one center. But instead, we're going to subsidize a $1 billion developer, kill our school district, and move people from out of town, and have our housing crisis be worse off than it was before we did this. But I bet you we'll do it.
Legislator, absolutely. Planner Doyle.
So, it's always difficult to refute what I would consider to be falsehoods from various legislators. But when they persist, I think we have to. And so one of the things I would say is that, first of all, the pilot agreement that is currently being worked out and went through the legislative, that went through the city of Kingston, does include a payment to the school tax, payment to the school. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that the city, in looking at the pilot and working through a marketing plan for the project, has indicated that they would want to have a preference for local people, for residents from the city of Kingston. That preference requirement is now going through HCR to see whether or not it would be approved in terms of being consistent with the federal requirements and not in violation of the Fair Housing Law. That's the second thing. The third thing is that the only thing I can say, when you look at how affordable housing has been developed nationwide, about 90% of the affordable housing nationwide is being developed by the private sector, right? In this instance, one of the things that's happened here is that we've actually brought in a nonprofit, so that 51% of the profits for this particular development will actually go to a nonprofit that's based in Ulster County.
Thank you.
I don't, because this isn't really before us tonight. We're just having the sort of presentation. If I hadn't really known how far you were going to go in the first place, I actually wouldn't have let you talk the first time.
You wouldn't let me say what I said about this project.
No, because this really isn't before us tonight. We were more just having Dennis give us a presentation on it. This will be up for discussion next month. Feel free to come to that meeting and discuss it.
Yeah, but you're not going to allow somebody to say there was falsehoods, continuous falsehoods by a legislator, and not let the legislator respond for 90 seconds. You're not going to do that, are you?
You're going to keep it to 90 seconds, what
yes,
you say, Maloney?
I was worried for a second, because I said, wow, what did I say that was false? Jail demo? No. Solar? No. Lottery? What you mentioned about the mayor has put something out that he's going to attempt something that's going to be rejected because it violates state and federal law. You cannot emphasize in any way when you accept those tax credits. It was completely true what I said, and what the mayor has said is dead on arrival. And the payment that you said they are getting is minuscule compared to what they would be getting if it was not for the pilot. To start something out and saying that there was falsehoods, and then to come with that, was just, that was a falsehood unto itself. Jail demo, solar, school taxes, Family of Woodstock, not for profit, lottery, everything I said was true.
All right.
Okay. I'll be quick too, but I just want to weigh in. I have not been following the pilot discussion in Kingston, but I would like to say, having lived through the previous pilot discussion that happened in this county that was before this legislature, that, you know, on the face of it, I feel really differently about the potential of a pilot for affordable housing versus market rate housing. I voted no to the previous pilot that was before us, and I fiercely felt that, and still do feel that was a massive mistaken judgment, using a pilot incentivization to fund market rate housing in any way, shape, or form is it's an absolute full no-go, full stop for me. But these projects, whether they're done by private developers or not-for-profits or governments, are complicated. I've looked at the pro formas of them, and I was frankly surprised about how. Now, I'm not saying people don't make money, but I'm saying that maybe if they don't make some money, they wouldn't build these apartments, because these apartments make less money than market rate apartments. I don't want to ever hear about a pilot for market rate apartment. Our IDA, if we're discussing pilots, needs to have a plan for housing. That's what we've been asking for. But and what happened, I think, was horrible. But this to me is much more complicated. Again, I'm not in it. It's happening somewhere. It's happening in another level of government. But I think that it's something that I certainly would be more open to, because they're complicated projects to move forward.
Yeah. So through the planner, Dennis, do you know if that's a deviated pilot or is it a standard pilot?
So what ends up happening with respect to affordable housing, the pilot gets done because the developer can create something called a Housing Development Fund Corporation, and the Housing Development Fund Corporation under real property tax law, the conversation with respect to the pilot does not take place with an IDA. It takes place with the taxing jurisdiction, which in this case is the city of Kingston.
So there is no...
And they can sign a pilot that affects all of the taxing jurisdictions.
Gotcha. Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Comptroller Gallagher?
Yeah, I want to update you that we are currently finishing up an audit on solar pilots and their implementation. Of course, with the finance department, we expect to have their comments back by mid-August, and we hope to have a report out to you guys by the end of the month, by the end of August. We're continuing our real property tax collection audit. We've now tested individually over 10,000 transactions over the last several years. We are auditing the CARES 1 and CARES 2 grant programs through USITA. I think you've heard a bit about that already, but I can tell you that we have identified a beginning set of grantee awardees who should receive distributions, and the USITA team and the administration are aware of those, that are good to go, and we're going to continue to work through the rest of them. I would say if you're getting questions about that, you should, and people want to know how long it's going to be, you can say it's going to be weeks, not months, until we have a clear picture, and that we're going to work as diligently and quickly as we can and let people know as soon as we can. We are anticipating that we may, before the close of the year, do an occupancy tax follow-up audit, given some of the materials we saw in risk assessment. On the revenue side, because I've been going back and listening to your meetings, I want to assure you, particularly Legislator Cahill, who I heard talking about sales tax revenues, we're not down very much right now. We're down less than 1%. We're kind of running neck and neck with last year at the same time. But I do want to bring to your attention that occupancy tax is significantly down. We've collected $1.1 million versus $1.5 million last year at the same time, and that means we've only made 35% of our budget by this point. Last year, we've made 51% of our budget. I'm telling you these numbers not because they're going to have a significant impact on the budget overall, but just because I think it's a good gauge and bellwether on the economy in general, and I know that you're considering other things that may impact it. So that's all I've got right now. If we have more next week, I'd be happy to share. Thank you.
For you to control Gallagher. So we're only down less than 1% now, but the projections, what are...
You were correct. If we take that negative and we project it out, we anticipate we could be short of the budget by $3 million.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
With regards to CARES 1 and CARES 2, I've gone back and started listening to the meetings and what we were told and what we were asking for. Can you add that? Can you take a look at what we were told in meetings and then what they ended up giving out and if they match up? Because that concerns me when we're approving things in a meeting, we're being told it's going to be done this way. It goes back to even some of the RFQ conversation at times. But when we're told this is how it's going to be dispersed and then it's dispersed much differently, that would concern me.
Audit will speak to that, and
but
what I can
I'll
say is that the contract between Ulster County and USITA did appear to represent the legislative intent. It's how that contract is implemented. Right. So we'll be sharing more with that with you on that point. But the contract did seem to capture the legislative intent from what we can see.
Okay.
because I remember, I think it was the chair was concerned, one of the meetings I was listening to about, it was language with low, it was a conversation about low income employees versus low, right. Like the how much the owner themselves were worth compared to
what people were getting paid.
Right.
Yes.
The ratio.
Unfortunately,
right.
The decision in that meeting did not exclude the employee-based LMI, the ability of the business to succeed through the decision-making process based on employee LMI, low and moderate income employees. But
the
there are a lot of other issues.
It sounded like that they were going to. They assured the chair that that would be not be the case.
They didn't do it.
Can you forward that stuff, let's say, money to the controller's office? So what you're referring
okay.
to?
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Motion to adjourn?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
You aren't on the committee.
I'm not.
So
I delegated it.
Yeah.